Welcome to episode 2, season 1 of The Inner Odyssey, a podcast about developing self-awareness, self-confidence, and self-determination through living honestly and practicing self-love. Thank you for joining us again. I hope you've had a fun, safe, and productive summer and an uneventful winter thus far. I'm really excited to be back finally. This season promises to be exciting, fun, informative, and this year is going to be fabulous. For those of you who are new to the podcast, a big welcome and thank you for joining us. For those returning listeners who have weathered the drought, welcome back and thank you for your continued support and encouragement. My goal, as always, is to provide you with inspiration, things to think about, and practical tools that you can use to craft a more satisfying, successful, and purposeful life while positively impacting those in your small spheres of influence. Today's episode will be an introduction to this season's topic, self-confidence, and its intimate bedfellows, self-esteem and courage. We will also talk a bit more about how not to let the difficult circumstances that sometimes occur in life knock you off kilter or get you down for too long. Later, I will introduce a challenge for everyone to undertake as the first step to a meaningful solution for ameliorating those things that cause us to lose esteem and confidence. But let's first start the discussion with some definitions and descriptions. Self-confidence and self-esteem are things that we all struggle with at times, but know that we can all improve and own these ideals all of the time, regardless of the circumstances. Firstly, please understand that self-confidence is an attitude, something that emanates from you and is perceived by others on an unconscious level. Like other distinguishing qualities, it cannot be faked or contrived. It is a trait that is expressed independent of externalities. Self-confidence is a belief and certainty in yourself and your abilities, a knowledge of what you are capable of, what you can and cannot do. For example, I know I'm capable of learning or doing anything I decide to focus on and learn about, despite my background or performance in the past. In the upverse, I know that right now I'm incapable of running a 4-minute mile, for that matter, or speaking Russian. Self-esteem, often used interchangeably with self-confidence, is your personal opinion of yourself. It is your ideas and perception about your value and worth in relation to the things you do or what you have achieved. Self-esteem, like most other concepts to develop, is an inside job. It is enhanced or diminished by experiences that were perceived as good or bad, depending on the outcome, fostered by the opinions of others, and reinforced by self-talk. As we discussed in Season 1, Episode 4, the words and phrases that follow "I am" a very powerful. So a self-motivated high achiever may believe him or herself quite able and capable of doing things, that is, have a boatload of self-confidence, but still feel like they're inadequate, a failure, because they're not as great as they hope to be in their own heads. They instead continue to pursue the ideal of perfection. I hope you can see that it is possible to have self-confidence but lack self-esteem. On the other hand, someone who usually has self-esteem, when put in a compelling situation, can cower and not demonstrate self-confidence to achieve a thing, demonstrating that it is also possible to have self-esteem but lack self-confidence. For example, Fear Factor episodes where otherwise able contestants with great skill, when faced with a heights or driving onto a moving car transporter challenge, just give up. Courage, usually associated with being lion-hearted, brave, fearless, etc., is the ability to recognize your fear, but nonetheless steel your spine and go forward with the appropriate action. Courage, like self-confidence, spurs action, but it is not foolhardy, rash, or impetuous. On the contrary, courageous acts rely on prior contemplation, an analysis of the pros and cons, an assessment of what knowledgeable action will garner the best outcome. Sometimes the most courageous action is no action at all, but biding one's time and waiting for a more propitious circumstance before making a move. At other times, the most compelling action can be full steam ahead, regardless of the consequences, and an acceptance of what happens next. In either case, there is prior contemplation, rapid or leisurely, but there's always some thought involved. Courage should not and does not imply that there's self-confidence. Most acts of courage are done without confidence that the outcome will be successful. It is action without certainty of the outcome, compared to action taken with confidence in your abilities and the likelihood of success. Nonetheless, both courageous and confident actions should be preceded by prior assessment. Courage can be summed up as feeling the fear and doing it anyway. After all, what underlies fear but an aversion to harm, real or imagined, that usually stultifies actions? We will discuss more about this in upcoming episodes, but for now, I would like to present for your contemplation some real-world situations that illustrate how these concepts play a role in our everyday life and decisions, despite our best intentions. Since the last episode, and granted way before the inception of this podcast, there have been an innumerable number of despicable things that have been happening and have come to light in the world. Pick a city, region, continent, what have you. Do a bit of research and you are sure to find some act or event that defies standards of decency and shockingly challenges the sensibilities. Call me sensitive, and yes, I can be, but that is a part of me that I refuse to give up. I still believe that humans are inherently good, despite their actions to the contrary. We all have a light and a dark side, as previously discussed. The side we have chosen to allow to rule us and show the world is up to us. This past summer and the last few months have become overwhelming for me. There's either too much ugliness in the world, or we are not demanding the reporting of things that are great and light in the world, making things seem more horrible than they really are. It is almost as if we need to create an alternative media where only good, positive things are reported on, rather than every shocking act of depravity that is occurring. We will speak about this and how to go about creating this positive space some more as the season progresses and the discussion of our overarching topic continue to develop. It still shocks me to the core some of the absolutely evil things that humans conceive to do to each other, and feel justified to do so despite knowing them to be wrong. Yes, you can argue that atrocities have been occurring since the dawn of mankind, and they should not come as a surprise. That is true, but I would think that we have evolved and have realized after all this time that evil begets evil and suffering begets suffering. Take your pick of any one of the recent debacles that we have been made privy to. The Me Too movement in all its permutations, the mass shootings and senseless loss of life in various locations around the world, the targeting of people for their beliefs and things they have absolutely no control over, breaches of trust perpetrated for profit by pharmaceutical companies, food supplies and manufacturers, clergy and other organizations of faith, technology companies, elected officials, the list goes on and on. You may believe that these things may not involve you directly, but you are incorrect, because each and every one of these things impact each of us, as they not only impact our daily lives, but our individual and collective mental health. So even if you were not in El Paso, Ohio, Chicago, or Australia this past summer, or running in the rarefied circles with R. Kelly or Epstein, or did not follow gymnastics, nor have been taken advantage of by someone with perceived power, or is Catholic or have a medical condition that requires medication or a life-saving device, you are nonetheless secondarily and indirectly impacted by these ugly events that have come to light. These indelible acts that cause unfathomable human suffering have been wrought by individuals who do not advocate for or favor egalitarian ideas. That is, an overarching belief in equality for all persons. Folks who may believe that they are entitled to do, be, or have whatever they wish to because of their stature, wealth, or position, and with absolute disregard for how they achieve their desired ends. But what are the common factors that underlie all these acts but a few and profoundly wrong-headed beliefs and ideas? As I mentioned before in one of last season's presentations, not one of us can or do act alone. No man is an island, as stated by John Donne. Each and every one of us depend on the support and beneficence of other persons to allow us to be who and what we are and do the things that we do. Therefore, a bad actor is never acting singularly. One of the things that concerns me when the details of these atrocities are revealed is the accounts of the people close to the perpetrators, the post-scatterbag contributors and historians. These are the people who were there by their own account and therefore able to provide damning details about the perpetrator and their crimes. They are able to provide information that allows us to gain an understanding of the who, what, when, where, and sometimes the why about what really occurred, but at an inopportune time for many victims. Usually the accounts, declarations, and characterizations of these despicable situations are tinged with explanations and descriptions that are self-exculpatory, apologetic, and lacking in an appreciation for the nature of their role in the facilitation, perpetration, and sometimes even the perpetuation of the alleged crime or act. It is as though they are coming forward only to obtain absolution, to salve their conscience, and/or relieve guilt. I always wonder, was their previous silence due to a lack of self-confidence or self-esteem, or just a desire for self-preservation, despite being witness to another's suffering? As I see it, in any situation, each and every one has a role that is not mutually exclusive. In every situation, you can have a primary role, but you will always have a secondary or tertiary role. You can be the perpetrator, that is, the person who is inflicting their brand of ugly by doing something, some act that is heinous, i.e., socially or morally repugnant. You can be the victim, the person onto whom the repugnant act is being perpetrated. You can be a facilitator, the person who aids and abets the perpetrator in conducting the affairs of the repugnant act, intentionally, inadvertently, or unconsciously. You can be the bystander, the person who has knowledge of or is suspicious of some aspect of the repugnant act, but remains silent. You can be totally oblivious of a situation. However, none of these roles are mutually exclusive, nor relieves any of us of direct or indirect culpability in the atrocious event. For example, you go from bystander to facilitator when you sit silently and provide support or ignore the troubling actions of the main perpetrator because of fear, embarrassment, or whatever motivator you deem more compelling. When we allow the bystander effect to become the norm and collectively resign ourselves to the inevitable, we cannot then later complain with righteous indignation about the injustices of it all and point fingers when the situation hits home. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. You go from being oblivious to facilitator when you support directly or indirectly language, speech, writing, images, or other content or media that is provided for consumption while spewing hate and satirizing violence in all forms against others. We all play the role of facilitator when we tacitly agree with, inadvertently promote nascent social norms that threaten decency and degrade standards of morality by inaction or refusal to acknowledge and decry injustices in all its forms, whether or not it directly affects us. When you unquestioningly accept what is determined to be acceptable by those with an agenda, whose fundamentals are rooted in monetary gain or self-promotion, even when it is obviously not in your interest to do so, you are enabling and facilitating your own victimization and diminishing your self-esteem. Finally, you go from victim to abettor or facilitator when you do not say something about what you have endured in a timely manner to prevent similar things from happening to another vulnerable person. Even though you can appreciate the deleterious impact that being victimized has on you and will have on other victims, again, silence is chosen. This silence, however, is what the perpetrator depends on to continue with business as usual. It takes a great deal of courage, self-esteem, and self-confidence for a victim to speak out. But always, when a victim of any act of suffering speaks out, they're in essence refusing to further victimize themselves with shame, self-blame, guilt, and constantly reliving the trauma that they suffered. They are standing up and acknowledging their worth and bolstering not only their self-esteem in their own eyes, but also their self-confidence. It is all our responsibility to create that safe environment for victims and facilitators to come out of the shadows quickly and decisively. How can we create such a safe and supportive environment? With some honest cogitation, the obvious individual and collective culpability in the roles we assume become more evident. If we decide to let fear of reprisal or fall from grace cause us to cower to bullying or succumb to the influence of perceived power, we are thereby allowing someone with whom we disagree to make decisions on our behalf. These decisions that again see to the further diminution of our self-esteem and feelings of confidence in our abilities. When we creatively justify things and situations that are inherently wrongheaded, thoughtless, and lacking in prescience, we are actively aiding in the inevitable demise of moral and social standards and facilitating the regression of us all. Can we all agree that turning away or averting our eyes when faced with things that are suboptimal is not the answer? What will it take for us to decide that those with a bully pulpit cannot compel us to be silent despite it not being in our best interest to do so, individually or collectively? When are we going to say no to apathy, complacency, and indifference, or to believing that it is not my business? Or someone else will say something, or convince ourselves that change will happen in time, despite evidence to the contrary? Can we agree to principles that create a society that embraces egalitarian principles that are sustainable and life-affirming? Can we agree to speak out and take action before things hit home and we are personally affected? Have we forgotten that I am through you, so I, as eloquently stated by Brother David Stendhal Rass in his book titled Gratefulness, The Heart of All Prayer. There exists on a continuum a duality between what is acceptable and unacceptable, right and wrong, justifiable and unjustifiable. There are no absolutes, but there are things that make you cringe and question certain actions or even think not appropriate, regardless of who you are and where you're from. I can acknowledge that humans and the things that motivate them are complicated, but I still believe that there is some basal level of appropriate and inappropriate that we can all agree to collectively. We can debate ad nauseum about the perpetrator's mental state and hypothesize about what motivated their actions and what were their intentions, but despite our best efforts, we can never assure collective responsibility and culpability in the act that was perpetrated. Yes, yours and my actions or inactions, decisions or indecisions, and choices created the milieu for these aforementioned atrocities to occur. As I expressed in Season 1, Episode 4, the boundary that exists between you and me is at best fluid and at worst non-existent. I would like us all to realize and acknowledge that when we turn away and neglect our responsibility to take action when faced with a difficult situation, when we practice avoidance or misrepresent the truth, we are ensuring our culpability. As I mentioned in a past episode, repressing, avoiding, and hiding away is merely hypocrisy, not demonstrable of any admirable character trait that should be cultivated. To this end, with a goal always of self-improvement, I want to invite and implore each and every one of you to step up, speak up, take action. Accept your responsibility to create what is beneficial to us all as a collective in this world. Be courageous and confident to be the most honest you that you can be at this moment, knowing that tomorrow you will be an improved version. We cannot afford to lose a sense of our shared humanity, the knowledge that we are all intrinsically linked to each other in this great web of life, and our individual action affects everyone else. At this time, I would like to introduce the fun new challenge I alluded to earlier in the episode. My hope is that you yourself will participate and involve your friends, family, and coworkers. I would like you to pick a day of the week. Any day will do. On that specified day, I would like you to make a promise to yourself to tell the truth about everything and anything that you encounter in whatever situation you find yourself. Let's call it my truth day. In preparation for the challenge, consider this. When is the one instance or situation where you feel justified to lie? Write in your journal how you feel about this challenge. Why or why not have you chosen to undertake it? How did you fare? In what situations were you not able to go through with it? What was the underlying concern or fear? How did you feel when you told the truth? Scared, relieved, light and happy? Share your thoughts and progress with us on Twitter under the hashtag TIO Truth Day. I am quite aware that it takes a great deal of self-confidence, and I endeavor to and look forward to providing you with some sustainable tools this season to develop that trait and ways to recognize when it's being stripped from you with your implied consent. I would like to invite you to join me as I work on a way to help prevent some of the more egregious things that are injurious to all of us from happening. I believe that this starts with a challenge to pursue honestly and make TIO Truth Day every day. Last season's episodes focused on self-awareness and the role that honesty and self-love played in the process of really getting to know yourself so that you can predictably respond rather than react to situations and circumstances. Even though all the past episodes are of import, the episodes about honesty, concentration, and self-awareness are particularly so and worth a re-listen. I tried to list specific ones, but listed all the episodes except episode 1, the introduction. So please, re-listen and refresh yourself so that we can proceed seamlessly. This season, we will continue with the lessons learned in season 1 and use them as the foundation from which to discuss development, practice, and demonstration of self-confidence, self-esteem, and courage. We will explore these critically important topics through the lens of attention and the practice of avoiding the use of avoidance and hypocrisy in all its forms to temporarily dodge that which we fear. That's it for today. As you persevere through this opportunity called life, remember this quote by Kilroy J. Ulster. Self-transformation commences with a period of self-questioning. Questions lead to more questions, and bewilderment leads to new discoveries, and growing personal awareness leads to transformation in how a person lives. Purposeful modification of the self only commences with revising our mind's internal functions. Revamped internal functions eventually alter how we view our external environment. As a reminder of your value and inherent capabilities, say with me, I am good enough. I am strong enough, I am powerful enough, I am capable enough, I am loved, lovable, and loving. Thank you again for joining us on the Inner Odyssey. I am ever grateful for the time you are taking to listen and participate in this discussion. Share the show and subscribe to our podcast on anchor.fm/The Inner Odyssey, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts. And remember to participate in the hashtag TIO Truth Day challenge on twitter.com/The Inner Odyssey. Until we meet again, care enough to act with virtue, dream despite your deepest fears, live honestly with dignity and grace, and above all, love without expecting reciprocation as you continue your Inner Odyssey.